this church loves the Word of God, because there were so many things in there that were around the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, the participation of the body in the Word of God. And you come away, you know, I think with that clear understanding that we are a church that believes in the Word of God. And, you know, last year I told you guys that I wanted to just reiterate and to reaffirm the vision that the church has to that end. And to be honest with you, there's been no change in the vision. It is still that Acts 2:42, you know, we want to be faithful to the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship of the saints, the breaking of bread, and to communion. I'm really stoked about the way that holidays fell this year on the days that they did. I can't wait. I cannot wait for tomorrow morning to start out a brand new year worshiping God, declaring His glories, and then coming to the table to remember all that He has done. That's perfect. That is absolutely perfect timing, you know? And so it's another one of those things about the holidays this year that have just really excited me tremendously. We want to keep our focus, though, as a church, on the Word of God as we go. And I think even more so today than ever before. The way things are changing in the world, I've come away with over these last 3 weeks and spending time with the Lord and seeking the Lord as to what He would have for us as a church. And I really feel there are a couple of things, one of them being that we need to know what we know and why we know it, and why we believe it. I mean, coming in, as we see the things developing in our culture and in our world today, I think having that solid conviction that the Word of God is true and that every word of it is true and that every word of it has a part in our lives, and being able to stand upon that. It's easy to recant that. It's easy to say, you know, I believe in the Bible. I believe in Jesus Christ. But I think that as times go on, that there's going to be challenges to that in our life. And you're going to have to really know why you believe in the Bible and why you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that you're going to have to be able to defend that and then to stand on that very firmly. And I think the times of testing are ahead. But having said that, I know this, that God is great. He's greater than anything that the world could possibly throw at us. He's stronger, He's greater, and His love for us is what captivates our hearts and keeps us pressing forward. And I'm hoping that this year is a year to where we have that going on in our own personal lives, but also as a church as well, that we continue in our love for the Word, the teaching of the Word, and maybe even stepping it up a little bit more doing some classes on basic doctrines and different things like that, that will help us as to understand why we believe and what we believe. So I'm very hopeful that we're going to see that happening this year. But one of the other things that I really feel that the Lord has shown me as well is the continued need for prayer in the church. Now, first of all, let me say that I think there's just been some fantastic things that the Spirit of the Lord has been doing. And we have seen on Sunday nights the prayer group grow tremendously. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. We have a good group of men that meet up on Saturday mornings. But, you know, unless everybody's here for those prayer meetings, there's never enough. We all should be gathering together to pray. And the Lord has been moving on hearts and changing hearts and doing that. And so I'm grateful. But I think that if you read through Ephesians chapter 6, beginning there in verse 11 and on, where Paul gives us that wonderful armor of God to place on ourselves, that speaks of that being prepared, and equipped for war. I mean, if you look at it all, it is armaments for war. And that we should have those on. But then Paul says, finally, brethren, that I want you to pray. And I want you to pray for me specifically that I would be able to stand strong and to continue to share the gospel. And it is that final piece of armament that we put on ourselves is that daily constant prayer in our lives. Gathering together corporately and praying for one another, I think is first of all biblical. I think that the word tells us that we should, and so therefore it's good. And we just simply need to do that. And I'm hoping that over this next year that we will see that happening more and more as time goes on. And I also say that too because it is our greatest weapon that we have. It's not the last resort. It's not when everything else fails, pray. It is pray and then see if everything else fails. Maybe it won't if you're saturating it, what you're doing with prayer. And so I think it's very important in the days that we're living in that we have that cohesiveness in prayer, because I believe that the times are going to get much more difficult than what they are today. We see that happening. I can't think of the name of the bill they just signed, the Protection of Marriage Act. Is that what it was called? Can anybody help me out with that? Recently, the federal government passed the protection. Oh, what was it? Respect for Marriage Act, which actually absolutely disrespects marriage altogether. So let me give you what my thoughts are on this, all right? By making it what they have, I can see that they're going to try to use that to force churches to embrace and accept homosexual marriage. And because it's federal, then it's immediately going to be an issue for us, and no doubt it'll have to go to the courts, but I can see it possibly becoming that very thing that forces churches to abandon our doctrines on marriage. And I could be wrong, but my thoughts on it are that they're wedging their way in little by little. They did that when the pandemic hit. They shut us down. And they bounced up against that wall. And if you note, everything that they do when they have a law or a bill that they want to pass that goes against the things that are foundational within the church, they don't come at it, and just bull through it and make it happen. They try it, and when it doesn't work, they back off for a little bit, then they come back and they hit it harder. And then they come back with something else. And, it's like I said, when we won our victory, if you will, and the Supreme Court said that they didn't have the right to close down churches. I said, we won the skirmish, but we didn't win the war. And they'll be back. And they will be because Satan himself wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the family. And that's why you see all these things that are going on, because, it is, family is the institution made by God. Marriage is an institution made by God. All of it for the betterment of culture, society, and for the church. And so Satan is doing everything he can to destroy those things within our culture and our world. Now, that's where the church started from, a position like that. In the times of Rome, a lot of the things that are going on today, including weird marriages and things, were prevalent within the Roman culture. And it was because of the gospel and it going out that it literally turned the world right side up from being upside down. And so I think that we're seeing another attempt at that by Satan, that he's doing everything that he can. And so it's important that we individually and also as a church, that we find ourselves prepared for battle, putting on that full armor, making sure that prayer is the very thing that we find our power and authority in, that we are committed to praying with and for one another and praying for others in the world. praying for those who do not know Christ. And that's one of the things that I feel that the Lord has emphasized in my heart for this year, 2023, and that is evangelism and getting out and evangelizing the lost out in our culture. I admit I've struggled with this for quite a while, trying to figure out ways in order to be able to accomplish it. And our little trip down to Mexico that Ted and I took down there, I think is really kind of given me some ideas, and Ted some ideas as well, as to how we can reach out into our community and to reach them with the gospel, starting out with the kids. But we're also going to have a couple of trainings. One of them will be in February. Yeah, February the 3rd and the 4th. We're going to have a conference here. It's the Evangelism Explosion Training Conference that we're going to have here at our church. This is not only for our church, but for other churches as well. But the weekend before that, I have a guy that's going to come. His name is Brenton Powers. And he's a brother who was over in Europe for about 10, 12 years. And he was starting churches over there, evangelizing the lost over there. And he has a ministry now to what he does is he helps churches learn how to go out and to evangelize. And I'm excited about it because if we think we have things tough here, evangelism in Europe is much more difficult than what it is here. But yet, he's very effective in what he does. He's effective in teaching others how to. And so he's going to come and he's going to share with us on January, what is it? The last Sunday in January. I can't think of what it is. He's going to share with us, but then he's going to be coming back and we're going to do outreaches. He's going to take us out. He's going to take a team out and we're going to go out into the community, into neighborhoods and stuff. And we're going to do outreaches to reach people. And I think we really need to have a great emphasis of that over this next year. And when, I don't think it's just for 1 year. I think this becomes, you know, something that we do all the time. We live in a world that is just horribly lost. And, you know, the interesting thing is it may seem like people don't want to hear the gospel, but yet there are so many people that are out there doing this that are telling me that when they go out, they find people all the time that want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think the enemy has tried to convince the church people don't really want to hear it. They're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to do all these kind of things. And so people just do nothing. So I think that if we have some good training, some great opportunities, that we can become a church that puts a great deal more emphasis on evangelism than what we do today. And I'm hopeful that we're going to see as many wonderful things of God's moving within our church in 2023 as he did this year. I know that we got some things coming up that are going to be opportunities. We're going back to Mexico in December of next year, or 23. We're going back down with the shoeboxes, and we want to take a team down there. So I'm telling you now so that you can be thinking about it and praying about it and even preparing to go down there. It'll be for a week, so you'll need to take time off of work. And we'll be working together as a team. We'll be hooking up with Whittier again, and we will do outreaches within the cities where the churches are in Mexico where we minister. So we're going down there for that purpose, but we're also, there's a new children's home down there that we're getting involved with as well. And so we're going to have an opportunity to minister there, to serve there, and hopefully to be able to reconnect with the kids that were in Casa de Gracia who are now in this other ministry. Also, going to try to take a team down in the spring to Tijuana. So if that's something that you'd be interested in, let me know as well. And we can start putting together the details. That one will be a lot sooner. It'll be in April. Around spring break. And so looking forward to what the Lord is going to do, and He's opening up so many opportunities for us in other places right now that it's incredible. Can't wait to see what God has for us. And certainly the blessing of just being able to fellowship with one another and to hang out and to love the Lord together and just watch God work within our midst. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for what He has done, but I'm even more grateful for what He's going to do. I think that we have a blessed future in Christ. But I also believe there's an urgency that should be in our hearts for the times that we live in and the fact that we're getting nearer and nearer to the return of the Lord. And the Lord would have us to reach out to all the lost, to all that we can, in order to give them an opportunity to receive Christ before that day comes, before He comes back. And one more thing I want to share with you, a praise report. We raised $1,770 for Calvary Chapel Hermosillo this last month. And Herman is extremely grateful. Pastor Herman is extremely grateful, and bless his heart. When I told him that we had done that and that we're sending the money down to Pastor Mike and that Pastor Mike will get it to him, that kind of thing, I mean, he was like, well, you know, what is it for? You know, it wasn't like, okay, great, man, I can go do this, I can do that, or anything else. And I explained to him, you know, it's for the rent, for the church. It's, you know, to keep your electricity going. And it's all those things that you have need of. We want you to use that money for that. And it's like, oh, wow, praise the Lord. You know, he's just so excited about what the Lord has done. And thank all of you, and thank the Lord for your generosity towards that. And I'm hoping that throughout the year we might be able to do something for them occasionally, just because they're an extremely poor church and they could use that help. And we'll just play that by ear and see what the Lord does. But I'm afraid that's all I got for you tonight. And so we can close in a word of prayer. And Pastor Paul and the worship team can come back up and we'll sing a couple of songs and then we'll be dismissed. So why don't we do that, and then we'll close in a word of prayer.